Amen. Amen. Hey, grab a seat, and as you do, grab a copy of God's Word. Turn with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 14. And we say this every week, and I just want you to know we mean this. Like, if you don't have a Bible, grab one and get your eyes and a copy of God's Word. And if you don't own a Bible, leave with that. One of our greatest joys is when we have to buy more Bibles because people are walking out with those. And so please take it. We mean that. Before I jump into this particular passage and the topic for today, just wanted to quickly let you know what our preaching plan is throughout the summer. Super excited. Next Sunday, Pastor Tony Carter, who's planting the Rock Bible Church in Greensburg, Indiana, is going to be here to bring us the word. Really, really excited to have Tony here next week. And then in 2 weeks from now, we begin a summer series on the attributes of God called the Godness of God. And now we're going to spend 6 weeks just unpacking some of the attributes we find in Scripture of who God is. And now listen, this is so important. Books like Knowledge of the Holy by Tozer, books like Knowing God by J.I. Packer, they're classics for a reason, because they get our eyes on the vastness of who our God is. And so for 6 weeks, we just want to unpack the attributes of God and this Godness of God series. And in the middle of July, we'll begin a verse-by-verse walk through the book of Jonah. And so we'll begin that in the middle of July. And then on August 13th, we will launch one of the largest sermon series we've ever done in the history of our church. And I'll tell you more what that is in coming weeks, okay? I'll give you a hint. It starts with Ro and it ends with Mins. Romans. So I wasn't going to give it away, but I couldn't help myself. Okay, so Romans beginning August 13th, verse by verse through the book of Romans, till it could be somewhere from 10 months to 10 years. I don't know how long it'll be, but it's such a rich book. Today we talk about joy. You want to talk about joy? Let's talk about joy. In order to kick us into this topic on joy in the Spirit, let me read a quote from a really joyful-sounding book. The book's title is Spiritual Depression. Its Causes and Cures. This book here is phenomenal. It's a classic. It's actually a series of 24 sermons preached by Martin Lloyd-Jones in Westminster Chapel in post-World War II London. And if you can imagine kind of the themes and what hearts are wrestling with in post-World War II London, this book begins to get at what's going on in the human soul. And though the title sounds fairly depressing, it actually, as you read these sermons, is a great catalyst for joy. In this book, in what is the second sermon of his series on spiritual depression, he says this: in a world where everything has gone so sadly astray, we should be standing out as men and women apart, people characterized by a fundamental joy and certainty in spite of conditions, in spite of adversity. Amen? Like, you know, written, I don't know, this, I can't remember when this series was, what year exactly this series was preached, but written all the way back then to this point right now, in a world where everything has gone so sadly astray, we can relate. We, believers, men and women of God, should be standing out as men and women apart, characterized by a fundamental joy. And a fundamental certainty, in spite of the conditions, in spite of the adversity that we're walking through. In Christ, we have all we need to know the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is to be our strength. And this is what we want to talk about today. This is the last sermon in this series on the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about joy in the Spirit. I'm laying before us, I see in Scripture, a connection between joy and the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in the heart and the life of the believer. Now, we better define what we mean by joy, because joy is not often kind of what we hear in culture. Joy is not merely some ebb and flow emotion. Joy gets at the bedrock root of the affections of the heart. I'll say this, and it would be a bit controversial. Maybe in this room, it'd be really controversial outside of this room, but I'm convinced the more I study on joy, joy is fundamentally a Christian idea. People wouldn't like that, but I would lay that for you to do this study. I believe joy is fundamentally a Christian thing. What is joy? Joy, we preached the book of Philippians a few years ago. We called that series Gospel Joy, and we define joy simply like this. Joy is an enduring, non-circumstantial delight. Joy is about delighting. Joy is about delighting in the Lord. And this joy, this delight, it endures. It goes on and on and on. We'll talk more about that later. And this joy is non-circumstantial. It does not ebb and flow with what happens in our week or what happens in our month or what happens in a season of life. This joy can endure regardless of circumstance. And this is the joy we long to know. Amen? And this is the joy we can know. Amen. Now, a midstream into a letter, and anytime you're preaching on one verse, it's really important that we understand the broader context of what's going on so we can... You're all flipping. Did I give you the wrong book earlier? Are we good? Romans? Have I said Rome? Sorry? Thank you. I need that reassurance to have joy as I preach this sermon. Sometimes I listen back and I'm like, wow, I totally said the wrong thing. Romans 14, I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. I want to read the whole paragraph, lay out the context, and then we'll camp out in verse 17. Longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. How many of you are wondering right now, where does this become about joy? Here we go, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Now, let's understand what we're jumping midstream into a letter. Paul is writing to a people. Paul is writing to Rome, the Roman church, and he's addressing here an issue. Believers have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, but they've come out of different and varying backgrounds. You have many who have come to faith in Jesus Christ out of a Jewish background. They had devoted their lives to the Jewish dietary laws. And now they, yes, are in Christ, but they're dealing with conscience issues. Ah, my whole life I couldn't eat that. And I don't feel a ton of freedom to go eat that now, even though I'm in Christ. And Paul is providing direction to those whose consciences allow them to eat or drink whatever because everything has been deemed clean. And he says, but don't carry out your liberties. Don't carry out your freedoms in a way that cause a brother or sister with what he calls a weaker conscience to stumble. He says, be guided by love in this. Don't let neutral issues become sin issues and stumbling issues. Love your brother. Love your sister. But then in verse 17, he says something bigger than all of this. He says, remember, the kingdom of God isn't ultimately about what we're eating and what we're drinking. It's not ultimately about dietary laws and whether your conscience allows you to eat it or not eat it. It's bigger than this. It's rooted in something deeper, and we're going to get into what the deeper parts that it's rooted in. But kind of the big idea of today is simply this. Life in the Spirit means fullness of joy from the Spirit. That's where this verse is going to go. What is the kingdom ultimately about? Life in the Spirit means fullness of joy from the Spirit. And so we just want to take this in two parts. Part one, we want to acknowledge that we've been brought into a kingdom of joy. And then in part two, we want to look at how the Holy Spirit is our agent of joy. Doesn't that just sound cool? Holy Spirit, agent of joy. So that's what we want to see here today. Let me pray, and then I'm going to get back to verse 17. God, we ask that you would fill our hearts with joy as we see what your word has to say about joy. Would you give us a fundamental biblical understanding of joy? Would you help us understand what it means, what it is, and where it comes from? God, we ask for your help as we look at this, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me go back. I got ahead of myself, but let me go back and let's look at how verse 17 starts. It says, for the kingdom of God is not, okay? Verse 17 is going to describe for us, Paul's going to describe for them what the kingdom of God isn't and what the kingdom of God ultimately is. He's midstream in this argument. Do not let what your mind allows you to eat become a stumbling block for your brother or sister. But then he says, over and above all of that, remember, the kingdom isn't ultimately about what we have freedom to eat or drink. Imagine if the kingdom of God was all about external things, all about external lists of do's and don'ts, all about external lists of I have freedom for this or I don't have freedom for this. In fact, the greatest, you want to be assured to not walk in the joy of the Lord? Make his kingdom all about the external things. Make it all about external lists. Make it all about, do I have freedom to eat this? Do I not have freedom to eat this? No, Paul wants them to understand something over and above this. He says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but instead, he says, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of joy. We've been brought into a kingdom of joy. Everyone say amen. This is a kingdom of joy. But Paul doesn't only mention joy in this. In fact, I want us to just look at the verse on the screen because I think it's important for us to note that all three of those words towards the end of this verse are connected to the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness in the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit, or from the Holy Spirit. Before we get to joy, let's understand this. The kingdom of God is ultimately about a spirit-born righteousness that the Lord has worked in our heart. The moment we are born again, we are born of the Spirit. The Lord has made us new. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The Lord, by the power of his Spirit, is working in us righteousness. Working in us what it means to be right before God. And our righteousness is now something that is not imposed from the outside in by lists of rules and lists of freedoms and lists of right and wrong. The righteousness working from God is a righteousness that works from the heart outward. This is a righteousness of the kingdom. And so Paul says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's a matter of righteousness in the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of peace in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in God's kingdom gives peace to the heart of the believer. Let me tell you a big secret about life. You ready for a big secret of life? You don't have to go out searching and wandering around for peace. You don't have to go find the Zen. I don't even know if I said that right. You don't have to go find your center. In fact, I'm convinced, and I think Scripture's convinced, the more you turn inward in a search of peace, the more unpeaceful you will find yourself to be. And there's so much prevailing ideology out there that says you want peace, like perfectly understand who you are. I don't want to understand more of who I am. I want to understand more of who he is. I don't need more introspection. I need more revelation of who he is. So peace in the kingdom is a peace by in the Holy Spirit. We're a people born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in us, giving us the very peace of God.
And so Paul's saying, remember, guys, remember, yes, love your brother and sister. Don't eat it if that's going to cause them to stumble. But over and above all of this, what is the kingdom ultimately about? It's about righteousness in the Spirit. It's about peace in the Spirit. And it is about joy in the Spirit. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of joy. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of joy. We should be the most joyful people on this earth. And you and I both know the believers, our beloved brothers and sisters, who you're like, joy, joy. You're like, I am joyful. You're like, someone notify your face then, right? Like, joy. And we're going to talk about what joy actually means. I joke about the face, but joy is more than just flippant plastic smiles. We're going to get to that part, but we need to understand where our joy comes from. It is a joy. Look back, get your eyes on your Bible. It is a joy in the Holy Spirit. It is a joy in the Holy Spirit. This is what the kingdom of God is doing. This is what the kingdom of God is about. So what the kingdom of God, this one marks God's kingdom. Righteousness in the Spirit, peace in the Spirit, joy in the Spirit. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of joy. Now let me remind us something Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 11. You can just stay with me, it'll be on the screen. John 15 verse 11. This is remarkable. Think about how remarkable this is. This is the chapter on abiding, right? Jeremy preached such a phenomenal message on abiding out of John 15 a month or so ago. And this is from this context. He says, these things I have spoken to you that my, this is Jesus talking, my joy may be in you. Everyone say, that's cool. And your joy may be full. This is full, okay? You with me? My joy, the joy of Jesus accessible to those who have been born of the Spirit. The joy of Jesus known by those abiding in Christ. That my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. More of that. Please, Lord, more of that. And so what is this kingdom joy? Let's understand before we get to the second part of understanding how the Holy Spirit's this agent of joy, let's understand what is kingdom joy. We got to understand that. What is kingdom joy? Three things I want to say about kingdom joy. Kingdom joy is first and foremost, it's a filling joy. Think about what Jesus just said in that verse. That my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. He doesn't say that your joy may be nominally, sufficiently, three quarters of the way full. The joy of Jesus in the heart of the Jesus follower is a filling joy. A couple other places I want to pull some connections on how is the kingdom joy a filling joy. Romans 15, 13, love this verse. Can't wait to preach on this in 2027 when we finally get there to in the Romans series. May the God of hope fill you with what? With all joy. Oh, God of hope, fill your people with all joy. And then often in Scripture, you'll see a connection between joy and this next word, peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. How many of you want that to define your week this week? Right there. Boom. That. Lord, Romans 15, 13, me this week. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In Acts 13, verse 52, we see this described about the disciples. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And so I just want us to see, when we see in Scripture joy that is coming from the Holy Spirit, we see that this is a filling joy.
But second thing about kingdom joy is this. It's a non-circumstantial joy. It's a non-circumstantial joy. It is a joy not based on circumstance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it's on the screen, says this. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word. Look at what it says. You received the word in much affliction. Does that sound fun? Like to your flesh, does that sound fun? Receiving the word in much affliction. They received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Only a work of God can do that. You received the word of God, afflicted for it, filled with joy in it. With the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The joy of the Lord, kingdom joy, Spirit-produced joy is not based on circumstances. That's why the believers in Thessalonica could receive the word of God in much affliction with the joy of the Spirit. Martin Lloyd-Jones, well, before I read this quote, I want us to understand something about this non-circumstantial joy. What I'm not saying is that we have to walk around with plastic smiles and false facades, pretending like everything is okay in life when everything's not okay. I'm not saying we have to pretend. I'm not preaching some shallow, superficial, put a smile on your face regardless of the circumstances. It goes so much deeper than that. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it like this. I'm not suggesting we should perpetually have that inane grin upon our faces that some people think is essential to the manifestation of true Christian joy. You need not put, listen to this now. You need not put anything on it. It will be there. It cannot help expressing itself. This is what kingdom joy is about. You don't need to put it on. You don't need to pretend your way to it. You don't need to fake it till you make it. The Spirit of God dwells in you, which means regardless of circumstance, He is welling up joy in your heart. It means that joy in the kingdom can be a weeping joy. It means that joy produced by the Spirit can mean joy in the face of pain. And you don't have to pretend like there's not pain. It means joy in the aches of aging. It means joy in the loss of life. It means joy in the midst of betrayal. It is a joy that prevails and is right deep down in the bedrock of your heart, regardless of how difficult, hard, sad, or grievous the season is that you're walking through. And it's not something we have to put on and fake like everything's okay. It's a prevailing joy. This weekend, Tim Keller passed away. Tim Keller was just in our generation, just a profound Christian mind, pastored in New York City for many years, wrote many books that you probably have read if you read it all. And his son, I believe it was a son, was just putting on Twitter some of the things that were happening around their family, like as his dad went home to be with the Lord. But he talked about a few nights ago, just in a time of prayer, Tim Keller just thanking and thanking God for all the people that have been praying, thanking God for his family, but then speaking in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his body literally shutting down, speaking of the joy of going to see Jesus. He said, "I just want to go see Jesus. Oh, Father, take me home." There's a prevailing joy with eyes on Jesus, literally in the midst of the final hours of his body shutting down. This is the kind of joy we're talking about. How does this kind of joy work? It works in a James 1 kind of way. James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds." Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds.
How in the world do we do that? I'm preaching on joy this week. Thursday night, we had an elders meeting. My wife was driving up to meet us here, and the van just shut down, just like powered down, you know. And so she pulls it off to the side. We call a tow truck about 6:15 p.m. We leave the van where it is. We go to the elders meeting. We're driving home. The tow truck said they'd be there in 25 minutes. At 11:45, the tow truck showed up. And I'm leaning on my wife's window, you know, before she left me there with the van, you know. And I'm leaning on it. It's like, joy in all circumstances. I'm so joyful right now. That's minor trial, right? Minor, minuscule trial of life. But how is it that the Christian experiences joy in the in trials of various kinds? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's working this reality in us in the midst of him. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Praise the Lord. Trials test our faith, produce steadfastness. Produce endurance, deepen, strengthen. It's why only the believer can look and say, praise you, Lord, for this trial. Because you're growing me. You're growing us. You're deepening our steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The work of the Holy Spirit in the midst of deep pain, deep trial, deep struggle works in our heart to say, I'm growing you, I'm growing you, I'm deepening you, I'm giving you greater endurance, and produces in us in the midst of some of the most painful, difficult circumstances of life, joy. Amen. So kingdom joy is a filling joy, it's a non-circumstantial joy, and now let me say this about it. It's an eternal joy. Do you know there's no, if you are in Christ, there's no expiration date on your joy? In fact, do you know if you are in Christ, your joy only gets better from here? If you are in Christ, your joy only will be known more fully from here. As the Lord deepens you in steadfastness in this life, and as one day he calls you from this life to stand in the presence of your Savior. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says this, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh Lord, teach us that. And so, we're talking about a joy that the Spirit produces. And let me just ask this, are you acquainted with this joy? Do you know this kind of joy? Do you know the work of the filling joy of the Spirit? Do you know the work of the non-circumstantial joy of the Spirit? Do you know the work of this prevailing and eternal work of the Holy Spirit? If you do, would you rejoice today? Like your application, if you know you are in Christ and you know this joy, your application is to leave here rejoicing, skipping down the aisle, rejoicing throughout your day. Thanking God for a prevailing joy if you're in your life. If you don't know this, or you don't know that you know this, keep listening. Because we have to understand how this verse ends, that the Holy Spirit is our agent of joy. That's the second part we need to talk about, that the Holy Spirit is our agent of joy. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter, it's not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in who? In who? In the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, as I keep saying and hammering this point home to us today, it's the Holy Spirit who works in us this joy. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and on the list goes. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Hear me. Hear me. The application from today isn't that you would leave and go ultimately focus on joy. You're like, now I'm confused. No. If you ultimately go focus on joy, you won't hit joy. Because joy is a fruit. Joy is something produced. Joy is something produced by the Spirit. In much the same way, a fruit tree
We have some fruit trees in our backyard. One of them's a peach tree. And last summer, we noticed that the fruit, the peaches being produced across the board were deficient. They were malnourished. And it would have been foolish for me to look at all those peaches on that tree, to grow up to one peach and go, how do I fix you? How do I make you more nourished? The problem isn't where the fruit was growing off. The problem stemmed somewhere farther, deeper back, in the root system of the tree, in the trunk of the tree, in the branches of the tree. This is my point. If we go pick joy from the sermon and say, joy, I'm going to focus on more joy this week, you won't find joy. Because joy is a fruit produced by the Spirit. So where do we turn our focus? We turn our focus to Christ. We turn our focus to abiding in Him. We turn our focus to walking by His Spirit. We get our eyes on Him. And in doing so, with our eyes on Jesus, walking by His Spirit, joy is produced in our life. And so I come back to this question, what if we're wondering, do I know this joy of the Spirit? A couple questions. Do you have the Holy Spirit? In order for us to unpack this joy element, do you have the Holy Spirit? Has there been a time in your life that you have seen your sin has separated you from a holy God? That you have understood Jesus came and He died on the cross for the penalty of your sin? Has there been a time in your life that you have called out on Jesus by faith? You have called on the name of the Lord to be saved. And if there hasn't, today is the day. Because you might hear this sermon and you go, I want joy, I want joy, I want joy. There is no joy apart from Jesus. You must bow your knee to the Lordship, to Jesus as Lord of your life. And the Bible says you don't do that by trying to work really hard to be really good. The Bible says you don't ultimately do that by just trying to accumulate more and more knowledge. The Bible says you know Christ the moment you believe. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And right here, today, you can call on the name of Jesus to be saved. The moment you do, indwelt by His Spirit, this Spirit producing joy in your life. So do you have the Holy Spirit? The next question, are you walking by the Spirit? Are you walking by the Spirit? Are you walking by the Spirit? Galatians, as Pastor Corey preached a few weeks back, we can walk by the flesh or we can walk by the Spirit. If we're walking by the flesh, we will not know the joy of the Spirit. We're grieving the Holy Spirit when we do that. There is no joy in sin. There is no joy in sin. There might be momentary fleeting fun for your flesh, but there is no lasting joy in sin. Instead, the Lord invites us into joy by walking by His Spirit. Are you walking by His Spirit? Because Christians, listen to me. In Christ, we have all we need for fullness of joy. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. As we read to start this very day, in a world where everything has gone so sadly astray, we should be standing out as men and women apart, people characterized by a fundamental joy. This joy is ours. We are people of the kingdom. This is a kingdom of joy. And this is worked up from the inside out as the Spirit of God produces this joy in and through our lives. Amen? And so, church, if you would stand, we're going to get ready to sing about joy as we leave here. I pray as a catalyst of joy for our week. But listen to me right now as we prepare our hearts to sing. You and I have no idea what's coming this week. If you do, share the secret with all of us how you do. But here's what we know. Here's what we know. Bedrock, rock solid truth we leave here today. Whatever comes, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Whatever comes,
The Spirit can produce joy in us and through us in it. Whatever comes, may they be trials or hardships, the Lord is at work in them to bring us to deeper places in our faith that produce joy in our heart. If we have Christ, we have all we need for fullness of joy. If we have Christ, we are indwelt with the Spirit of God, who is the agent of joy in our life. And so I say before we sing, joy, 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 joy. Rejoice in the Lord. And I'll say it again always, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever comes, rejoice in the Lord. I mean, if you're sitting on your patio tonight and you're watching your kids or your grandkids playing, you're like, life cannot be any better. Orient that joy vertical. And if you're weeping with grief by the end of this week, in the midst of the weeping, experience the bedrock of His joy in the midst of it. Joy, 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 joy. If anyone asks you what the sermon was about today and you don't know, that's on you, not on me today, okay? So let's sing in joy about the joy that is ours.